but I want to take a few minutes just to look at God's Word this morning on this wonderful Resurrection Day. And I recognize that if you've been in churches, ours or other churches, for any length of time, you've gotten sort of used to perhaps Easter messages and what you might hear from the pastor. It's obviously the theme of the day, and so we expect to hear about the resurrection. And I want to take your attention to that for a moment and ask a couple of questions. But I want to read the text again that we've already heard from today in Mark chapter 16. And so if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to follow with me. If not, you can just listen as I read this morning. Mark 15, beginning in verse 1. I want you to listen as I read and hear the sense of drama that Mark brings to our attention, but more than that, of course, the reality of that which he speaks. Of course, Matthew and Luke and John all have their own version, if you will, in their gospel of the resurrection. All of them have it there. All of them speak of its reality. But Mark is very short and to the point in what he wants to get across. Mark 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. But go, tell his disciples and Peter he is going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you'll see him, just as he has been told." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. I want to ask a question today, a couple of questions. Are you kids paying attention? Have you ever wondered, the parents can listen too, it's okay. Have you ever wondered, played the what if game? What if you had never been born? You ever thought about that? What if you'd never been born? I'm not sure your parents think about that very often, but we'll leave that for another time. I'm glad that went right over their heads. What if you'd never been born? Think of all the things that you'd have missed. You'd miss kindergarten. You'd miss hockey. You'd miss going to church and Sunday school. There's a whole lot of things you'd miss, isn't that right? Video games, cotton candy, whatever it is. You'd never have any of that if you were never born. Isn't that true? That's a basic question of fact, isn't it? If you're not born, you can't enjoy all these things. But I can tell you this morning, folks, kids, you listen to me? You know what? I know something absolutely true. You were born. I keep it easy, see? I never get that wrong. You were born. The reason I know that is because you're here this morning. You see, we have evidence that you've been born because you're here. Isn't that right? And you get to enjoy all of these wonderful things, family and friends, homework. Oh, I didn't mean that. Other good things that you get to enjoy now because you were born. What a wonderful thing. But let me ask you another question. Listen very carefully, all right? What if Jesus had never been raised from the dead? Have you ever thought about that? We could wonder if Jesus wasn't born, and that would answer a lot of questions, but what if Jesus was born, and he lived, and he took care of the disciples, and he preached the gospel, and he healed people, and he came telling people he was the Son of God, but what if he went to the cross and died, and that was it? Think about that for a moment. And I'm not trying to be silly here, but if Jesus was never raised from dead, we'd never have Easter. Because that's the reason we have Easter, right? Jesus was raised from the dead. Think of all the things that would have happened if Jesus had never been raised from the dead. I want to come back to that. So keep that question in your mind. Hopefully it'll keep you awake for a few minutes. What if Jesus had never been raised from the dead? Now in Mark's gospel that we just read for you here, we have the biblical evidence that Jesus not only died, but that he was raised from the dead. The other gospel writers tell the same story from different angles. There's numerous sort of historical artifacts and stories and renditions of this that remind us indeed Jesus was raised from the dead. We're going to take that as a fact here, and I'd love to discuss with you more about how that comes to our understanding. But the gospel writers show us that this happened in history. And notice how the story just kind of flows here. You have in verse 1, the lady's preparing for his burial. Now, he's been buried, but when you die and go in the grave, decay starts to take place. It doesn't smell very good. And so they're getting spices so they can come and prepare the body, so they'll honor Jesus as in his death, and things will be okay. They'll smell fine, it'll be fine, like roses and flowers around him and so on. And that's what they're going to do. But as they're preparing these things, they ask themselves a very good question. You see that, kids, when I read that for you? And adults, I forget you're here too. He asked a very important question. They did. Ladies, who's going to roll the stone away from the tomb? Because the text tells us it was a really big stone. Who's going to move it? You can't help prepare the body in the grave if this large stone weighing hundreds of pounds is rolled in front of it. Isn't that a good question? But you notice there's a little glimpse of their faith here, because they keep going. We have no idea how we're going to do it, but we're going. And when they get there, it tells us that there's some surprise and shock on their face, isn't it? If you look in verse 4, after they asked the question, they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very low, very large, had been what? Rolled away. It's not there. Would you be surprised? I would think some very large person was able to come along and move that, because I couldn't do it. Very surprised. And what is more shocking, there's an angel there. There's this guy in white sitting at the right side of the tomb. And he's there. And basically he says, hi there. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Wouldn't that shock you? It would shock me. My knees would be knocking if I even went to a graveyard, but to see the stones away and look in, and the body isn't there. Now, a lot of people have speculated about that and said, well, the soldiers stole the body, or the disciples stole the body, or something happened, blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. In reality, and in fact, the reason the stone is rolled away, because God, by his mercy, takes an angel and wipes it right out of the way. The reason Jesus isn't there is because he has done just as he said. That's what Luke says. He's risen just as he said. He told you that before, and he's fulfilled his promise, and he's not here. He is risen. I think it's Luke who says it this way, and it's a wonderful phrase. Just keep this in mind. Hallelujah. Why? He didn't say that. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's alive. He has been risen from the dead, and the shock that there is theirs and the amazement really should be yours and mine as well, because the wonderful news that is given to them should so inspire us that we stand in amazement of what God himself has done for the Son in his resurrection for us. It's a marvelous thing. But as you see, this account goes on here. The angel tells them to go and tell the disciples. And you go back and read Matthew and Luke and John, and there you'll get the full picture, okay? But I love the way that Mark ends here. He says in verse 8, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were terrified. They were afraid. Now, just a note. You'll notice in your Bibles, you still have verses 9 to the end of the chapter. We'll talk about that next week. Because there's probably wasn't in Mark, even though the events that are seen there were very much in live then at that time. The point we want to make here is the fact that Mark is leaving us at this point with a very interesting statement. They were afraid and they were bewildered at what was happening here. And they didn't want to say anything. They're not sure anybody will believe them. What will they do with this news they have? Well, the other accounts tell us that finally they go back and tell the guys, and guess what? They don't believe them either. Just a bunch of tales you're telling us. But they go to check just in case. And sure enough, they see Jesus is not there. He's been risen from the dead. And later on, he'll show himself to his disciples. But I come back to that question. What if Jesus had not been raised from the dead? What then? Well, I want to occupy your minds with the answer of that, because the Bible gives us the answer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you can turn there if you want, or just listen as I read. We've asked the questions, and I want you to keep that question in mind. What if Jesus had not been raised from the dead? Well, 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul, he answers that question for us. In this chapter, in the early church at the city of Corinth, the Christians there were struggling to understand would we also be raised from the dead? They weren't really questioning that Jesus was raised from the dead. They're wondering, but what about us? And there were some bad teachers who were telling them that, you know, oh, you won't be raised from the dead. And they said, what? We won't? What will happen to us? And so Paul is trying to encourage them here and basically telling them, because Jesus was raised from the dead, you will be also, so you're safe. But your resurrection also shows that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And so notice what he says here in verse 12 of chapter 15. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? In other words, there's the controversy. If Jesus was raised from the dead, how can we say that we will not be raised from the dead? And then here he starts to answer my question. What if Jesus had never been raised from the dead? The first thing they say here in verse 14, if Jesus has not been raised from the dead, then there's absolutely no reason to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look what verse 14 says. 13. If there is no resurrection, then even Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. Our preaching is, I find that very discouraging if it was true, because I do this every week. And what he's saying, if Jesus actually never raised from the dead, what I and other preachers do every week is useless. It's pointless. You see? If Jesus was not raised from the dead, there's no point in preaching the gospel because he hasn't done what he said he would do. Notice further in that same verse, in verse 14, not only is our preaching useless, but verse 14 says, and so is your faith. Think about that. All of us as Christians, by faith, believe in Jesus Christ. Amen? That is how we understand salvation. By faith, we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's the core of our belief. By faith. And what is Paul saying? If Jesus was not raised from the dead, your faith is useless. It's a waste of time. Don't even bother. Now, that seems harsh, doesn't it? But it's absolutely true. If the focal point of our faith, Jesus Christ, has not done what he said he would do and is still dead and rotting in a grave, then faith is absolutely a waste of time. He's not done yet. In verse 15, not only are these things true, preaching is useless, waste of time for our faith, we are either deceived or liars. Verse 15. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he was raised from the dead. You see? We're a bunch of liars or very deceived because we've been telling everybody that Jesus was raised from the dead. If he hasn't been raised from the dead, then we're a bunch of liars. There's no point in listening to our witness. Because again, the foundation and core of our faith, our belief, is not there. He goes on quickly here, verse 17. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, we still have the problem of sin. Verse 17. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, we talked about that, and you are still in your sins. See, all of us here, if we're Christians, rejoice that our sins have been taken away. We just sang as a choir, you have given us freedom. My chains are gone. But no, they're not. If Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, you're still chained in your sins. You have no hope. Because the chains of sin have shackled you. And it goes further here. It even gets worse because there's no hope for heaven. Verse 18. Then those who have fallen asleep, that is died, those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Those who are dead and gone. There's no hope for heaven. None. Because Jesus has not been raised from the dead. And finally, in verse 19, he points out there, if Jesus has not been raised from the dead, then we are the laughingstock of the world. Verse 19. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. If our hope is a Christ who has not been raised from the dead, then we're pitiful. We have nothing. Do you see how very dark that is? Now I know, some of you know where I'm going. And you see the end of the story. But see the story of Jesus had never been raised from the dead. And how vital this is to our Christian faith. Because the text shows us here, and that's that wonderful little word, but. Back in verse 12, but if it is preached here, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Somebody better say hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Christ, thank you. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. See, what Paul is saying is saying, folks, your resurrection is guaranteed because Jesus was raised from the dead. You have no fear. You have nothing to be worried about. He's got it covered because he actually was raised from the dead. And because he's raised from the dead, we will be raised glorious. We will serve him. We will glorify him. Why? Because this has taken place. So you see how important it is here. And I love it when Paul kind of lays it out for us here and kind of lays us bare and all these things is, but Jesus has been raised from the dead, so stop worrying about that. Be more concerned that our lives would be a reflection of his glory. Be more concerned that this truth, this reality would be that which is transforming our lives daily. That we are not merely those who say the name of Jesus, but we live his life every day. That he lives through us in this world. And so when we think about that, what would have happened if Jesus was never raised from the dead? There's a part of me that is very sad. Because it reminds me of everything that we would not be able to enjoy. Hope, peace, joy, eternal life. But that sorrow is so brief because Jesus was raised from the dead. This is a reminder in our text this morning and in other texts of Scripture that there's the vindication of the suffering Messiah, that Jesus, when he came and suffered and died, it has its full conclusion. He is vindicated. He has been shown to be true in his promises and what he would do and his salvation of sinners. He is the Messiah. He is the glorious one. We praise his name. But it's also a call to faith and repentance. If you're here today and you don't really care whether Jesus was raised from the dead or not, you simply come because perhaps your Christian brothers and sisters invited you, or you were interested in what was going on in that full parking lot over there. Doesn't matter. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're living in that context of what if Jesus was never raised from the dead? Because even though he is raised from the dead, if we will not put our trust in him alone, then we will have to stand before him in judgment, you see. We don't get a free pass. We have to have freedom in Jesus. We don't seem to be able to, well, we'll just find our way there and we'll make it up in the end. We don't get to make it up in the end. There's no cramming for the exam in the end, okay? The end comes and it's over. Now's the day of salvation. I pray for you today, if you don't know Christ, that he would show you, first of all, how your life is in shackles to your own desires, to the things of this world, to sin itself. You are consumed with finding your own way through life, and you are in prison. Oh, God, by your grace, break the bonds of and chains of sin here and give freedom to those who are shackled by their own sin and lostness. Lord, open their eyes that they might see because they cannot see, Father. Bring them, raise them to life today because they are dead in sin, and glorify your name for those who today will in this place bow the knee of repentance and put their trust in Jesus Christ alone. I don't want anyone leaving here till they have gotten right with God. Because you'll have freedom. And if we're believers in Jesus Christ, dear friends, with me you say hallelujah, with me you rejoice, with me you praise God. But with me we also recognize here the rally cry to the church. That we rise up and not just in praise to God, but with joyful hearts take the message of Jesus Christ, the good news, to a world that is lost and dying, knows not its way, and needs to be set free. Oh, by God's grace, lead us. Challenge us that we would arise as the church of God and see his church built till he comes again. What if Jesus had never been raised from the dead? The question doesn't even matter. Heavenly Father, we praise you because what matters is that you have been raised from the dead, that you have been glorified, that you will be glorified, that you choose, Father, in sovereign grace to save souls like us. Father, I pray for those today that you would bring grace and peace to those who are lost, life to those who are dead, and joy to those who are sorry. Jesus is alive. Amen.